Turning to the Gospel of John, chapter 10, and we're going to take a text again this evening. It's verses 27 and 28, very well known text of Scripture. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Let's just unite together, please, at the throne of grace. Our loving Father and our God, we thank Thee for the love of Christ. We bless Thee for the fact that He cares for us. We thank Thee for His surrounding grace and mercy. And we thank Thee, Lord, for all that we have heard tonight. We thank Thee for the message in song. We'd ask that Thou wouldst continue, Lord, to speak and continue to work in hearts and draw sinners into the fold, into that one fold that is to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us now, we'd ask of Thee, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. A number of years ago, there was a journal from one of the weekly papers, British weekly papers, one of the Sunday papers actually, who went around to do a survey on the standard of preaching in the pulpits of Britain. And when he had done his survey, he came to the conclusion that, as he toured the churches, that the standard of preaching in Britain was in a very lamentable condition. I'm sure he was perfectly right, because one of the saddest aspects of the apostasy of this day and generation is that the pulpit has become very weak and is in very much sad decline. Even in evangelical churches, there are many who have relegated preaching and placed it at the very bottom of the heap, and other things have entered in. But one of the criticisms that this journalist made of the preaching was one that was certainly unwarranted. Because he said that as he went to a number of churches, he found that the ministers in those churches took some of these texts that we've read this evening, and he said that they likened the people to sheep and the Lord to a shepherd. And he said this was a very old-fashioned way of looking at things. And he said this was an irrelevant and futile way of preaching about shepherds and sheep in this modern space age in which we live. And he felt that the message should be updated in some way. Well, I will not certainly take that criticism, because I want to direct your attention this evening to the greatest of all preachers, the Lord Jesus Christ. It was said of the Savior that never man spake like this man. And he was often taking the illustration of the shepherd and the sheep. Indeed, that refrain is brought to our attention time and time again as we look through the Scriptures of truth. You think of the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And again, we have read it in this portion of Scripture over and over again. He speaks of my sheep. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. He says, I am the good shepherd. He says, I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord. And here is a wonderful picture of what the Lord Jesus wants to do with men and women. He wants to bring them into his flock. He wants to bring them into the sheepfold, and he wants to surround us with his care and with his protection. He wants to bring us out of the dangers of this day and generation, and he wants to surround us with the blessings that he bestows upon those that are his. And I wonder tonight, are you one of the Lord's sheep? Are you a part of the sheepfold that is spoken of here in this portion of Scripture? Is the Lord a good shepherd for you? Well, dear man or woman, if you've got to say with the honesty of your heart this evening that you're outside of the flock, that you've never been saved, you've never been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, then this evening you can come in and you can be brought into the very sheepfold of God. And so tonight we want to look at this portion of Scripture. We want to think of the Lord's sheepfold here. And we want to think about the sheep that the Lord brings to himself. Now, first of all, I want you to look at the picture of the sheep. He says here in this portion, "My sheep hear my voice." And you notice the description that the Lord gives here. He calls us sheep. He calls those that are His sheep. In many ways, that's not a very flattering thing to be called a sheep, because a sheep is one of the most dull and one of the most stupid animals that you could get. And of course, the sheep is very apt to go astray, and it's always wandering into danger. And that's particularly so in the East, because in the East, there was a very great lack of verdure, of pasture of any kind. There was a little bit of scrub here, a little bit of scrub there, a little bit of vegetation over in this place and another over there. In this country, you can put a sheep out into the field, and almost no matter where it goes, it's going to get something to eat. But out there where there is such a lack of any pasture, the sheep would rely upon the shepherd to bring it to the place where the pasture was. It was going to rely upon the shepherd to bring it to the place where it could feed and where it could get all that it wanted. And of course, without the grass, the sheep was mutton. In many ways, we've got to say that about the sheep, in the East in particular. Without the shepherd, the sheep is dead. There was no way a sheep was going to survive in the harsh climate of the East, with the sun beating down and the lack of moisture and the lack of verdure and pasture. It was not going to survive without the shepherd. But there is the reason why the Lord Jesus speaks of us as sheep. Because we will not survive without the good shepherd. There's no way that we are going to escape death without the good shepherd. We are apt to wander, we are apt to go astray, and every step that we take is very apt to take us away from the place where we ought to be. We think of how Isaiah, writing in his prophecy, said, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." And isn't that what natural man does? He goes his own way. In fact, he delights to go his own way. He delights in saying that I have my own way and I am my own person. I am my own man. I am my own woman. I do what I want. And yet when you do what you want, where does it bring you? It brings you down. It brings you down to despair and destruction. You know, we were on holidays a number of years ago in England, and I was speaking to one of our ministers in England. We were staying very close to him, and we went up and fellowshiped with him. And he was saying particularly about the people in England. He said, when you go and speak to them about the gospel and tell them about what the Bible has to say, they're very apt to give you their own opinion. And they are very much of the thought that their own opinion is every much as good as God's opinion. That what they think about things is just as weighty and is just as authoritative as what God says in His Word. But you know, there are many people, and they're getting very much like that in this land. Indeed, we have to say that many people have gone beyond that because they think that their opinion is greater than God's opinion. We have turned, the Bible says, everyone to his own way. And I wonder if that is a description of you this evening as you sit in this meeting. You have to say, well, I live my life according to my own thoughts. I live my life according to my own dictates, my own moral opinions. And you have discarded this Bible. You have discarded the truth of God's precious Word. Well, dear friend, as soon as you have done that, you have stepped into sin. For as soon as you turn away from the precepts and the moral principles of God's precious Word, that is sin. Because sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the Word of God is sin. Stop doing what God wants in His Word, and as soon as you turn away from the law of God, that is when you step into sin. And so we have to say, we are just like the straying sheep. And the straying sheep gets soon into hunger, and then it goes down into the path of danger, and gets down right into the place of death. And in many ways, we're more than the straying sheep. Because the sheep is strayed, but we are sinful. The sheep is wayward, but we are wicked. The sheep is dull, but we are dead in trespasses and in sin. So we are like the sheep this evening, men. We see the description of the sheep. But not only do you notice the description of the sheep, but notice the designation of the sheep. He gives us the description of sheep here, but he says we are His sheep. My sheep, he says, hear my voice. Now that means something wonderful. It means that these dull, stupid creatures, these that were going down to death, these that were as sure of death as anything could be sure, these had been brought in, and he says, they are my sheep. Oh, thank God if you can say that you're one of the Lord's sheep this evening. That speaks of a special relationship. He has brought in those from the danger, from the wandering position. And thank God he has redeemed men and women from among the multitude of men. And there are those who are his sheep. Not just any sheep. Just not the multitudes of sheep. But there are those that are in his flock. Are you his this evening? Are you one of his sheep? Not only do we see the designation of the sheep, but notice the discernment of the sheep. It says of these who are his sheep that they hear his voice. Now, that's how you know that you're one of his sheep. You hear his voice. I wonder, do you hear his voice? I wonder, as you read the Word of God, and if you're his sheep, you will want to hear his voice. The sheep will be listening for the voice of the Master. After all, the Master, the shepherd, comes with the food. The shepherd comes to bring the sheep in from the danger of the wolves and the bears that are all around. They will listen for the voice of the shepherd. Now, if you're saved, you'll be listening for the voice of the shepherd. Now, where do you hear his voice today? You hear his voice in his precious word. And if you're one of his sheep, you'll be listening to his voice. Have you heard his voice today? Have you heard the Lord speaking to you in his word, speaking to you in the services? Has God been speaking to you? And there are many who have their ears shut to the word of God. Remember, I was speaking to somebody at a funeral in County Cavan. It was actually a funeral in a rural area, Ashfield, in County Cavan. And somebody was speaking to me afterwards. It was a funeral of somebody who was saved. And there had been a gospel message preached at the graveside. I think it was actually a brethren funeral. But somebody was speaking to me afterwards, and they said to me, you know, isn't it amazing how people can stand at a graveside and listen to the gospel with death staring them in the face, and it doesn't seem to make any difference. They said, how could that be? But you know how it is. Because those who are not the Lord's sheep do not hear his voice. And maybe you're here this evening, and in the midst of everything, you do not discern the voice of God. God has not been speaking to you. Now, I'm not talking about the preacher's voice. I'm not talking about the voice of your friends or your neighbors. I'm speaking about the Lord's voice this evening. Do you hear his voice? Thank God if you do. If God has been speaking to you, if God has been placing that conviction of soul in your heart, and you have begun to listen to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that conviction of soul has come into your heart, and you realize that you're a sinner, if God is speaking to you, thank God for it. But I warn you tonight, if God is not speaking, that could be an awful danger. Because if God is not speaking and you do not hear his voice, what will happen? You'll wander on. You'll wander on until one day you reach the precipice over which you will eventually be tossed, and you will be forever lost in a Christless eternity. Men and women, you need to hear his voice. He says, my sheep, hear my voice. Do you hear him? In the midst of the gospel meeting this evening. Notice something else. Notice the discipleship of the sheep. They follow him. He says, they follow me. The sheep hear the good shepherd's voice, and they follow him. Of course, that is true of those that are Christ's. Not just a matter of saying a little prayer, and that's it done. You know, some people seem to think that salvation is a matter of coming to the front of the church or saying a little prayer, and that's them done. No, my friend, if you're saved, you're born again. You're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You become a disciple, a follower of Christ. Salvation involves repentance. And repentance is turning away from the old life and turning towards the new life, turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. They follow Christ. He says, they follow me. Are you a follower of Christ? Are you one of his disciples tonight? He says, these are my sheep. So we see here the picture of the sheep. But then I want you to notice the possession of the sheep. Because the Lord gives these sheep something. Look at what he says here. He says, and verse 28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now you notice that the shepherd gives something to these sheep. It is a precious gift. What is it? It is eternal life. It is the most precious gift that you could have. Eternal life. The Bible says that the soul that sinneth, it shall die, and we perish without Christ. But he gives here eternal life. Now, men, women, you might have many things in this life. You might have many gifts and many talents and many things that you hold on to, many desires and many ambitions. But what you need above all other things is the gift that God gives to you. And it is a gift. You don't need to strive for it. You don't need to work for it. You need to toil for it. You don't need to do anything. The Bible says that he gives that gift. The Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And woman, what about your soul? What about that part of you that will never come to an end? What about that part of you that will survive throughout the countless eons of eternity? What about your soul? He says, I give unto my sheep eternal life. Eternal life as a gift. As a gift tonight. It's here for you. The Lord is in the midst. The Lord is here this evening. He wants to offer you the most precious thing that your soul could ever have. And not only is it a precious gift, but it is a presented gift. It is the gift of God. There are a lot of people who think that you need to do something, but he says, I give. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. And that wine and milk there speaks of the wine and milk of God's salvation. He says, I give. What do you do with a gift? You take it. That's all you have to do tonight. You have to take it by faith. You say, this is what he offers. I take it. I believe that he's given it to me. I take it. And that gift is here for you. Now, it's a gift to you, but he purchased it. The same with any gift. He purchased it there by abiding on the cross of Calvary and suffering, bleeding and dying in our room and in our stead. And what wrath he bore. He bore the cost of my sin there on the cross of Calvary. It is a presented gift. But also it is a perpetual gift. But because he says here about this eternal life, this wonderful gift that he gives, he says, I give. Not that I gave unto my sheep eternal life, but he says, I give. He's ready to give it now. He gives this eternal life. And every day, every hour, every moment, thank God there is the opportunity for you to get right with God. There's an opportunity this evening. There's an opportunity right now. He says, I give. You can come right in this meeting and you can have a new peace, a new joy, a new blessing in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a perpetual gift. But then I want you to notice something. Notice the person of the gift. He says, I give. Now, if there had been me saying that to you, you might well laugh. And I think that you'd have good reason to. In fact, I know you'd have good reason to laugh. If that's just me speaking and saying that I know how to get you eternal life. If the Pope of Rome said, I give unto you eternal life, and he does, and some people believe it, unfortunately. But if the Pope of Rome said that, then you would have good reason to laugh. But the Lord Jesus is speaking. The second person of the Trinity is speaking. The triune Godhead is speaking tonight. I give. I give. And surely you can take that this evening. Surely you can put your trust in that. that our Savior is willing to give. You can believe on the Son of God. You can trust in Him. And you see this evening the picture of the sheep and the possession of the sheep. He gives eternal life. Surely that's something that you should have. But not only do we see the picture of the sheep and the possession of the sheep, but notice the promise to the sheep. He says, I give unto them eternal life. And then he says, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And you notice how plain that is. What else can you take out of that text but that you'll never perish? What else can you take out of that than that you're going to go on and for all eternity you're going to be in heaven? You're going to be in that place of bliss and that place of joy, and you're going to be in the presence of God. You're going to be in His hand for all eternity. It's plain, men and women. You don't need to interpret that or twist that or try to get some meaning out of that or some mystery out of that. There is something as plain as the nose on your face. You'll never perish if you're saved. Now there's some people that seem to think that you can get out of God's salvation. But He says, I give unto my sheep eternal life. And if it's eternal life, then it's eternal. God will not fail. God will not let us go down. And thank God, if you go to this shepherd, you can be dead on sure. You could go to an earthly shepherd, he might let you down. You might go to an earthly doctor, he might diagnose you wrong. But thank God, those that are the Lord's sheep are going to still be His sheep throughout the countless ages of eternity. The Bible says we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We can trust in the Savior tonight. We will never perish. Never perish. Oh, what will it be to sit down at the throne room of God? What will it be to walk through the pearly gates, walk the golden streets? What will it be to be in the presence of God? What will that be? I don't know. I cannot fathom it. I can only read what it says in the Scriptures. But one day, men and women, it will be real. One day I'll be there. One day we will join in the chorus. Thank God we will join in that chorus of the saints of God for all eternity. And thank God it will go on throughout the countless eons of eternity. We'll never perish. Never go to hell. Never see that place of utter destruction. Oh, what a blessing. And then he says something else. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I thank God that is priceless. That's something that is wonderful. He lifts us out of the torment by those hands. He brings us out of that place of destruction by His hands. He rescues us rather from that torment by His hands. Thank God for those hands that were riven. Those hands that were wounded. Now those hands reach down and they lift dear sinners out of the pit of destruction. And thank God tonight He lifts us by His hands out of the place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. How is that possible? The Lord Jesus Christ has made it possible there on the center cross of Calvary. He's willing to take you in His hands tonight. He's willing to take you in those hands that will never let you go. He's willing to take you in those hands in which your name will be graven. Thank God He's willing to take you in His hands, and you'll never perish if you're in the Savior's hands. Will you place yourself in His hands? Are you willing to stand upon the hands of Christ? Are you willing to let Him lift you this evening? Oh, some people are afraid. Maybe you're afraid tonight. Afraid to be lifted in the hands, lifted above the things that you're used to. But you're used to the gutter. You're used to the pit of iniquity. You're used to the horrible pit of sin. But there's one who will lift you out. Set your feet upon the rock and establish your goings. Put a new song into your mouth. Even praise unto our God. Oh, step into the hands of Christ. Let Him lift you out of your sin. Let Him give you eternal life. Let Him give you joy and peace in believing. Men and women, it's God's gift. I give
unto my sheep eternal life. Will you be one of the Lord's sheep this evening? Will you put your trust in Him? Let's just bow, please, in a word of prayer. And if God has spoken to your heart, if God has been challenging you, and you say, yes, I want to be one of the Lord's sheep, well, why not come this evening? Seek the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your trust in Him. Wherever you may be in this meeting, put your hand, as it were, in His hands. He reaches down His hand to you. Old men, women, seek the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we thank Thee for the Word of God. We thank Thee for the surrounding hands of the blessings of God. We ask Thee, Lord, that Thou wouldst write Thy Word upon every heart this evening. Draw sinners to Thyself. Separate us now with Thy blessing. Take us to our homes in safety. Be with us as we wait around in the cup of tea. We take of our thanks for the good things that have been prepared. And may we eat and drink to Thy glory. And bless us even in the time of fellowship. And be with us now, we'd ask of Thee. For it's in Jesus' precious name we'd ask these things. Amen. Now we're not...